Most gracious and eternal Father, God, we thank you. We bless your name to know that you are high, you are holy, O God, and you are to be exalted above all. Lord, we thank you to know that we must receive the engrafted word of God, and it's the engrafted word of God that's able to save us, to deliver us, and to keep us, O God, because you said in your word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word, oh God, and it's our faith that provides access, oh God, into your presence, that we're able to take those things, speak those things that are not as though they are. God, we claim your promises. We're going to claim your word. We're going to stand on the things that you've given us. Even in this Bible study, open our eyes. Oh God, just increase our revelation knowledge of you. You said in your word that you've given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever we loose on earth will be loose in heaven. Oh God, may your word break up the fallow ground. Oh God, even our hearts, that you might dig to the very things on the inside. God, that your word will reign, that your love, oh God, will reign and rule even our hearts. So God, we love you, oh God. You said be anxious for nothing, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let our requests be made known unto you, and the peace that passes all understanding. God, we don't even know how you're doing it, but we know it's through your word. Will guide our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Open us up, oh God, to hear and receive from you. Even this tornado warning, oh God, and the storm threat, God, we speak peace. Oh God, you stood on the bows of the ship and you said peace. Be still, and you rebuke the winds and you rebuke the waves, oh God, and that storm had to subside. So we pray, even the path, oh God, or wherever it's going, we pray, oh Lord, that you give us peace even in the midst of this battle. All these blessings we ask in Jesus' name. Before sick, we pray. Let everybody say amen. Tonight, we're still dealing with spiritual warfare. The first part one, we dealt with the belt of truth. And I'm just going to read through these descriptions, because what we need to know is that, and I talked about it before, right, is that Paul, when he wrote this, it was the Lord that gave him the revelation to write Ephesians chapter 6, whether he was chained to a Roman soldier, but as he saw what the Roman soldiers wore in battle, Paul, in the spirit, God revealed to him our armor to fight this spiritual battle. And thank God for it. God is going to be dealing with us. There's a couple of things I want to say at the beginning of this Bible study. God is going to continue to deal with us, and we're going to deal with the dangers of surface church. We're going to deal with the dangers of surface church and what God has been revealing to us. And I thank God, I even had a conversation with somebody today, is even through this pandemic, I'm telling y'all, it's so important that we line up with the word of God, that we line up with even our duty to the body of Christ. We must be in alignment with the body of Christ. Because I'm telling you, through the pandemic, there were groups started, there were groups or prayer groups started or different things started, right? Where people said, well, I don't have to go to church. I'm a part of this home Bible study. I'm a part of this group, and that will suffice my relationship with Jesus Christ, right? So your relationship with Jesus Christ is personal. Right. But as God has lined us up, and trust me, y'all, this is not a pitch where I'm drawing people to myself as a pastor, but it's a pitch that we line up with the word of God, because the Bible says, forsake not yourselves, the what? Assembling of the saints. And so whether it's Zoom, whether it's a conference line, whether you can make it out, and that's the best way we can make it out to the body of Christ. We were obedient. I believe it. We were obedient to God in the midst of a pandemic. And when people allow fear to govern them, to how they're going to get in the word or not come to church. Don't get me wrong. We've got to use wisdom. And sometimes God, like he did, for a brief stint, he shut some things down and we had to limit what we did. But when God creates opportunity, we can't operate on fear. We have to use wisdom. And what we find is there's an element in man, there's a spirit of rebellion, right? It's a satanic principle where we come up with our own terms and our own rules of how we're going to do church. And some people, I don't even really want to be part of a church right now, but I got my own thing going. And I'm telling you, we can walk and operate in a spirit of rebellion. And the Bible says that rebellion is a form of witchcraft. Amen. So we must be careful. And when we listen, when we operate in principles, when we don't, people don't want to follow. Folks don't want to follow, or folks don't want to take heed to instruction. Guess what? At many times, not all the time, but many times, you can operate in a rebellious principle. And that principle is a form of witchcraft. So we're going to get into that a little bit. But as we get into that, we open ourselves up to attacks of the enemy. And I think about Samuel told Saul, because Saul didn't want to obey, right? So Saul did what he wanted to do. He did what he thought was right in his own eyes, not in God's own eyes. And so a lot of times we'll say, well, I'm not ready to forgive this person, or I'm not ready to pay my tithes yet, or I'm not ready to stop gambling, or whatever it is that you want to hold on to. And we'll say, well, I'll do this. I'll get on the choir, or I'll help the usher board. And we do things to cover up. And that's what Saul did. Saul did what was right in his eyes and not what was right in God's eyes. And what we do, we open ourselves up, and he opened himself up to witchcraft. And that's how the enemy comes in. And guess what, y'all? I'm not one of these people. This is the way it's going to be. This is the way it's going to be, you know. But as God pricks my heart and shows us the dangers of rebellion and the dangers of surface church, where people can hide out and have a form of religion on the outside, right? But not truly delivered on the inside. That's the devil says, I'm coming. And so we got to know that. So three things. First of all, before we get to part four, part one, we dealt with the belt of truth, right? So anyway, the belt of truth. When we talked about the belt of truth, some quick points I'm going to go over with truth, and then we're going to go to the shield of faith. Every Roman soldier would wear a tunic to battle. It was large, square piece of material with holes cut out for the arms and head, and it was like a dress. With the tunic fitting loosely over the soldier's body, it was awkward for the soldier to engage in hand-to-hand combat. So what he would do was he would put on a belt, and he would have his loins, right? He would gather them into this belt, and it fastened together the soldier's clothing, making it much easier for the soldier to maneuver. It was necessary because it was used to also necessary to secure short daggers of the word of God. And we talked about the daggers were short knives. Picture this belt looking somewhat like a thick heavyweight championship belt or a tool belt. And so as we look at Ephesians 6:10, when he talks about the evil day and putting on this whole arm of God, right? He says here that you may be able to stand. Take unto you, verse 13, take unto you the whole armor that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore with your loins girt about with truth. That's the truth. And then having on the breastplate of righteousness. And even as the Lord began to deal with me, or I began to look at the shield of faith, right? The order in which he gives this armament. And the first three are things you put on and you keep them on. So you put on the belt of truth, right? He says, having your loins girt about with truth, you put on that belt. And then he says, having the breastplate of righteousness, you put on righteousness. You put on that breastplate of righteousness. And then having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you put those shoes on. So if you notice, the first three things, right, are things you put on. And the second three things are things you take up. And so we're going to deal with the fourth piece of equipment, which is the shield of faith. The shield of faith, you don't put it on, but you take it up. So the first three you put on, the second three you take up. You take up the shield of faith. You take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and you take up the helmet of salvation. Amen. So that's the way Paul gives the order, and that's the way he gives it out. But the belt of truth, which is talking about the word of God, the belt of truth, you can't do anything without the belt of truth. Before you can put on anything else, you have to put on the truth. And that truth is knowing Christ. He is that truth. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. He is the truth. So without the belt of truth, you have no breastplate of righteousness. Without the belt of truth, you have no feet shod, the preparation of the gospel of peace. Without the belt of truth, you can't take up the shield of faith. And I'm going to show you why. Because on our sheet here, right, it says the belt of truth was the holder for the sword of the Spirit. You can't have the word without the truth. 1 John 1:14, that's what that talks about. Jesus Christ came. He was full of grace and full of truth. And I know we talked about earlier in a first Bible study, we talked about Jesus and how Satan came to tempt him in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 to 11. We talked about the daggers. We talked about it is written, right? So it's the word of truth, and that Christ didn't rely on just who he was, but he relied on the very written word of God. Amen. And so when we talk about here, that first point, the devil hides out when we are not truthful with ourselves. I don't know why I keep going back over this, but I'm going to go back over this point. This is crucial because what the word does, the word searches me out. The word searches us out. The word is able to expose that hidden place in us that nobody else sees. So when we jump to the shield of faith, right? Many times we put these armaments on. We put them on like, man, this word of God got to protect me from the people out there. And it's got to protect me from the people on my job. And it's got to protect me from the people in the grocery store. No. Y'all know what this armor is for? This armor is to protect your new man from the old man. Amen. It's to protect me from me. And one of the crucial things that the deeper, and I know I'm telling you, I was talking to my wife, and sometimes it feels like you're sputtering your wheels. Sometimes it feels like I'm a broken record. But God is at something. He's pointed at something through this Bible study, through this series. And I'm telling you, the more I get in this word, the more that God tells me this battle doesn't start externally, but this battle starts inwardly. Because guess what, y'all? When this battle between the old man and the new man in Romans chapter 7, when he talks about, right, things I want to do, I'm not doing, things I don't want to do, or the things I end up doing, therefore I find another what? Therefore I find another law in me, right? That even when I want to do good, evil is always present. So, and I'm telling you, 5 years ago, man, I'm looking at this, I'm looking at these armaments, I'm looking at it as, boy, we got to watch out for the attacks of the enemy. I got a pink slip on my job, or this person, or that person. No, because guess what? Once this battle is dealt with, God's going to give me peace with everything else. He, listen, the external is so second place. It's not even second place. The external battles are irrelevant to the battle in me. Therefore, I find another law where? In Randy. That even when I try to do good, evil is always present. Then he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who can deliver me from this body of flesh? So that's what we got to know. And we said, the number one, we talk about this belt of truth. The number one thing the word of God has to do, not for me to tell it to everybody, but he hides out when I'm not truthful with myself. When we're not truthful with ourselves, amen, he hides out in me. Psalm 51:6, God desires truth in our inward parts. So who am I fooling? Why kid yourself? And I'm serious. And God had to have me take a long look at myself. I had to put the mirror on myself. That's what this series is causing me to do, is to look at my own heart. Because the word must be our mirror. James 1, 23 and 24 talks about the mirror. And I'm going to turn there. And somebody might say, and the reason why, before we can deal with faith, I had to go back, right? So James 1, 23 says this, for if any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer of the word, he is like unto a man beholding himself and beholding his natural face in the glass, right? And for he beholdeth himself and go away, and straightway forgetting what manner of man that he is. And so it says it's the mirror. He goes away, forgets what he looks like, but whosoever is willing to look in the perfect law of liberty. That means, listen, whosoever is willing to look in the spirit, called the word of God, to deal with the ugliness in that hidden room, that junk room in my house, right? My kitchen is clean, the living room's clean, the bathroom's clean, but I got a room that I've thrown all my junk in, put caution, shoestring, duct tape, all that stuff. We've put all them things in there. Right? And in that room, there's a window where people are coming in and out. That's the enemy, because he's attracted to the things that are still in me. That's why we talk about surface church, God getting beyond the surface to deal with the hidden place in our hearts. So truthfulness means taking the mask off and being real with ourselves about our real issues. Amen. 1 Corinthians 10:12 says, let a man take heed unless he falls. So I thought it important for us to go back over that. Part two, we dealt with the breastplate of righteousness. I'm just going to deal with the description. Purpose of the soldier's breastplate is quite obvious in that it protects the soldier's most vulnerable organs, the lungs, intestines, heart, abdomen. The breastplate was usually a tough, thick, sleeveless piece of armor that covered his torso. Amen. And then part three, we dealt with the gospel of peace. Each piece of the believer's armor is symbolic for some aspect of Christian life that enables us to be successful against the attacks of the enemy. We will Now look at what Paul refers to, the shoes, the sandals. We did that last week, the gospel of peace. And a couple of things that we talked about last week was we have peace, three things. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. We have peace with God. We have the peace of God. And we have peace with one another. So vertical peace, inner peace, and horizontal peace. And that's the sheet. And I have the scriptures on there. Amen. But tonight, we're going to deal with the shield of faith. So the shield, description, the shield spoken of here was made of wood and overlaid with metal. It was covered with linen or leather and soaked in water to observe the fiery arrow. It was about 2.5 feet wide and 4 feet long and was designed to cover the whole body. Oftentimes, the soldiers would stand shoulder to shoulder, making a solid wall, sometimes a mile or more long. The archers stood behind this wall for protection and shot their arrows as the army advanced against the enemy. Opposing armies would douse their tips of the arrow. So one thing we got to know about the fiery arrows, right? These fiery arrows weren't just arrows, right? When he talks about we're standing in an evil day and the fiery darts of the wicked, these arrows are fiery darts. So they would have a bowl of pitch and they would douse the tip of the arrow with this pitch. It was flammable, highly flammable. They would light it and they would shoot it into the enemy's camp. So when we talk about these fiery arrows, right, opposing armies would douse the tips of the arrows in a flammable substance, set it on fire. Archers would then shoot their opponents. When the arrows hit the targets, they would blow up in flames. And the tip would splatter, often burning the rival soldiers and starting fires on the ground around them. So I have written here, Satan loves to attack the faith of believers with doubt, depression, stagnation, fear, worry, many other destructive emotions. But Paul says we have a defense called faith. Paul says not just arrows, but fiery arrows. And these arrows primarily attack the mind. Amen? And also, I just want to share, I want to say this, that when we talk about this inward battle, right, and where these arrows come from, these arrows aren't limited to coming from externally, but these arrows come internally because they come from the mind when we doubt, right? When we wake up in the morning, went to bed happy, but you wake up in the morning and you don't know why you're feeling the way you feel, right? You find yourself depressed. You're filled with doubts. And there's no good reason why you feel this way. We call it a blue mood, blue Monday. First thing in the morning, you're depressed. You're anxious. There's nothing wrong physically. Physical elements of your life can have a great bearing, but you still feel depressed. Well, why is this happening? We are experiencing what Paul calls the flaming darts of the evil one. And that feeling of depression or this feeling of worry, or you just don't feel right. Your emotions, you just don't, man, I'm telling you. And I've woken up like that. And those are flaming arrows of Satan. They come to us in various forms. Sometimes they're evil thoughts. Sometimes they're imaginations, which can intrude themselves suddenly by our thinking. oftentimes we may be reading the Bible, or we may be bowed in prayer. I don't know if anybody ever been there where you're praying, and all of a sudden an old crazy thought comes out of nowhere. It could be a lewd thought. It could be a lustful thought. But all of a sudden, or you see something on TV, and all of a sudden your mind starts working, right? And these are fiery darts. You start thinking crazy thoughts. Anybody ever been there and start thinking crazy thoughts? Amen. And so we have to recognize that a lot of times these are arrows of the enemy. And that's why in this world, bad enough we live in this world that's full of seduction. And sometimes these doubts, even blasphemes, feelings that we experience, and different things, they'll begin to doubt even our own salvation, right? You'll have thoughts of, all of a sudden, a thought will flash through your mind that the Bible ain't real, or some of the stuff is made up, or whatever the thought is. There are thoughts that will come in your mind that will tell you this religion is a hoax, right? So you'll get different thoughts that will come and attack your mind. Like, and I remember Stanley talking about one time, you prayed for something. God answered your prayer. He gave you, or he provided a way and answered the prayer so seamlessly, right? And then a week later, you're going on, and the devil will attack your mind and say, oh, that was just luck. That prayer you prayed wasn't really answered by God. Anybody been there? You know, and sometimes, that's why I have a prayer journal. And there's so many answered prayers that God has answered in my life. And I'm not talking about, oh, Lord, I need a new car, or Lord, my wife's car broke down. But it's something how God answers prayer so seamlessly, right? And guess what? We don't worship him for what he's done, right? But we work. I could go down the list. I got a list. We always talk about what the devil's doing and what's going on with this world. How about we stop and take time to talk about what God is doing? Has he made a way? Has he blessed you? Maybe he healed your body. What he's done in the past, past victories, recounting and recalling. And David could recount how he took care of a bear and a lion, right? And he counted them. He said, those things were scarier than Goliath. And so, you know, and that faith comes by hearing. Amen. And we won't talk about that. And hearing the word of God. And guess what? God just made a way. Amen. But when we look at this faith, right? How Satan loves to attack us with doubt and bills and worry and stress and all this stuff. That stuff really doesn't come from external, but it comes internal. So when we talk about faith, knowing your faith is solely of God. That's the first thing. We've got to know that the faith that we have is not our faith. Amen. But the faith that God gives us is from him. Amen. And now that we're saved by faith. For the Bible says, for by grace are we what? Saved. Through faith. Not of ourselves, but it's a what? It's a gift of God. And so that's what the first thing we got to know, our faith is of the Lord. Amen. And I'm going to turn to a couple scriptures here. And then we're going to Ephesians 2. Let's look at that. Ephesians 2, 8.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man shall boast.
Amen. And so when he says That's how we're saved. We're saved by the grace of God through faith. And you have nothing to do with it, but it's our faith that comes from God. Amen. And then let's turn to Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 17.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth, unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said that whosoever believe on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Esau says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
Amen. So y'all see that there? Faith comes by hearing, and then hearing by the word of God. So the first thing we talk about the shield of faith to quench the fiery darts of the devil, which are the things in us, or the things embedded in us through the mind, which are embedded in us through the mind, right? And so, you know, we talk about doubt, depression, all these things, worries, or it could be temptation. Temptation is another fiery dart. And y'all notice something? And I was listening to a guy not too long ago, and he talked about, you know, there's a fiery dart that comes, right? Or you see a fight sometimes. And sometimes when this fiery dart comes, right, he blocked it and it bounced off. And then the enemy picked up that same dart and he kept throwing the same dart, right? And he said, Lord, why am I getting this dream or this revelation? And he says, because it's the same dart. It's the same thing that keeps attacking you. I don't drink alcohol, right? So you can't throw at me a fiery dart of alcohol. But the enemy's going to keep, he knows, playbook's out. When you're not walking in righteousness, when you don't have the belt of truth, and you have things in your house, you got a junk room, that's what I'm going to call that hidden place, right? That you're not honest with God in your relationship, and the devil knows this is a weak point in your life, he's going to keep throwing that same fiery dart, all right? And so when we talk about faith and knowing that, first of all, how do we grow in faith? How do we grow? How does our faith grow? Because we read Ephesians 2:8, for by grace are we saved through faith, not of ourselves. So faith comes from God. Bible talks about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Those all are gifts or fruit of the Spirit. And fruit comes from something that's rooted in the ground. And for us, our fruit comes from when we're rooted in the word of God, and we'll be able to grow in faith. Amen. Because even our unbelief, and that's a verse in the Bible, even our unbelief and our faith, guess what? We can pray to God to increase our faith. And so when we talked about faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, we grow in faith. But the first thing we talk about, how do we grow in faith? We must immerse ourselves in the word of God. Amen. And number two, the word of faith is not engrafted to the supply. So in other words, when we talk about this battle, right? We talk about hearing the word. Hallelujah. When he says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, that hearing is not, this is so important. That hearing is not a physical activity. Amen. That hearing is not a physical activity like hearing, but this is biblical hearing. And biblical hearing and spiritual hearing is when the word of God comes in. If you don't get nothing else tonight, get this. When the word of God comes in, whether it's preached, whether it's studied, and I studied this to know that it's not limited to just hearing a preacher. Don't get me wrong. Salvation comes. How will they hear without a preacher? And that preacher better be sent. Not just when, but he was sent by God. And you hear the word. And as you hear the word, right, it moves beyond the outer man. So we talk about faith comes by hearing, right? And hearing the word of God. So faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That hearing he's talking about is not a physical hearing, right? But that hearing that he's talking about is a hearing that goes beyond the body and hits the soul. And as the word speaks to you and you agree with, Lord, I'm wrong, and you're right, that's the hearing that he's talking about. Amen? And so the hearing goes beyond the body. And a lot of times when it goes behind the body, we can get emotional and it's trapped in the soul. But the hearing must go even beyond the soul, right? And hit the spirit, pneuma. And when it hits the spirit, we gain spiritual insight to know there's agreement with something God is saying to me. And that I agree with the word, right? And the word becomes engrafted in my heart. And now that I hear the word, whether it's through the preaching of the word, and number two, or through the meditation of the word, right? And it goes beyond the reading. It goes beyond the page. It goes beyond the book. Listen, and guess what, y'all? It's the same word that when the word of God goes beyond the cranium, when it goes behind the soul, when Christ stood at the gravesite and Lazarus was dead 4 days, when Jesus spoke beyond the grave, he said, Lazarus, come forth. And the word, Christ being the very word himself, Christ being the very life himself, Christ being the very truth, the word of God went behind the grave and hit the ears, hit the spirit of a dead man, and made that dead man come back to life. And as Lazarus came out of the grave, that's two pictures. That's a picture of our salvation. Amen. And not only is a picture after our salvation, when we hear something that speaks to our spirit, man, something wakes up. Amen. Something wakes up through agreement with, Lord, I'm wrong. You're right. And conviction to say, God, I got to make a change. So we have meditation, right? We have agreement. There must be, and then there's application. So it's not only meditating, it's agreeing with the word. And then there's conviction there. And then there's application. Where now that you've heard the word speaks to you, it's something moved, so it brings life. The word brings life where? To the new man. And now the new man grows. But the word, it now becomes applied. And guess what? The word of God is not engrafted to a supply. So, right, we've been there, right? Well, we've heard the word. And we know it's stepping on our toes. But our old man is on the inside like this, right? And we've been convicted. But we're still not willing to make a change. And when we're not making a change, y'all know what happens? The sun goes down on what we've heard, right? And we'll begin to suppress it. And we begin to suppress it, right? And that's the worst thing you can do. When the word speaks to you about you, something in your life that's pointed, that needs to be dealt with, guess what? You've got to give that thing to the Lord, and then you've got to obey. And it's our obedience to the word. It's our meditation. It's our hearing leads to our obedience. And it's that's what leads to application. Then the word becomes applied. Amen? So when we talked about the word, the faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. And that's how you grow in faith. Amen. Also, point two, so we have to be one, immersed in the word of God. And 1 Peter 1:23, when I go turn there, says, as newborn babes desire the sensual milk of the what? Word of God. Our new man, we grow. Which one are you going to feed? You going to feed the old man or you going to feed the new man? Faith comes by the word of God. And so we have to grow in the word of God. Number two, not only do we have to be immersed by the word of God, but we have to, faith comes through relationship. Amen. Faith comes through relationship. And so when we talk about faith comes through relationship, Matthew 7:7 talks about ask it shall be given, seek ye shall find, knock and the door shall be open. Also, the Bible talks about in John chapter 14:15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray and the Father, and he shall send another comforter to you. And verse 21 says, he that have my commandments and keepeth them, right? That means the word has been applied because the word has been obeyed. John 14:21, and it says, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest myself unto him. Amen. And y'all know what it says here? John 14:21. Y'all know what it says? It says, if you keep my commandments, you obey me, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Guess what? God loves everybody. So what is he talking about? He's talking about a relationship love, a love of relationship where you're wrapped up, you're tied up, you're tangled up in the love of Jesus Christ. And when he makes his abode, I will come unto you. We will sup with you. We will dine with you. We will fellowship with you. Guess what? You can't help but your faith to grow. Your faith grows through your relationship. So now, number one, we have to be immersed in the word. Faith comes in. And number two, faith comes through our relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it comes through. Amen? Also, and if we could turn to Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2, right? So number two, our growth comes through our roots being rooted in the word of God. It's all the word of God. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, we talk about, right? We talk about being immersed in the word. When we talk about our faith growing through relationship, and here's the relationship. Verse 6 says, Colossians chapter 2, as ye have therefore received Christ, Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him. Verse 7 says, being rooted and built up in him and being established where? Established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Amen? So we want to be rooted. Let your roots grow deep into him that we might draw up nourishment unto strong faith. Amen. And that establishes us in the faith. The last passage we're going to turn to is turn to Romans chapter 5. Talk about the shield of faith, right? Listen, and it's the shield of faith we talk about. It's not the external arrows, but it's the arrows of my mind. It's some old crazy thoughts. It's thoughts of fear, thoughts of doubt, thoughts of worry, thoughts of lust, thoughts of fornication, thoughts of cheating and how to get away and conniving and all this stuff. Amen? So we get the inside man. We get the inward man. We get this battle okay. Guess what? God will take care of everything else. Listen, and the battle's not fought from the outside in, but this battle is fought from the inside out. A lot of times I'm talking about the sword of the spirit, right? Which is the word of God. Y'all heard me say it. That sword is not for you to go swinging and dicing up everybody else. And listen, and what the devil wants, listen, what the devil wants to do, the devil wants us to externalize everything from coming from everybody else. That's what he wants us to do. He wants us to externalize this battle. And when we externalize this battle, guess what? You're going to lose the battle. It's an inward battle. It's an inward job from an old man. That's what it is. Might not like it, but it's truth. And that's what it is. It's an inside job working against a new man that's living on the inside. And when we take our eyes off of stuff, don't even watch news. But we gotta know that the devil capitalizes on us externalizing everything. He does. And he hides out there because as long as we externalize everything, we'll never see us. We'll never see ourselves. I know there's an external battle going on. I know there's a war going on. I know the enemy attacks through people and he works through people, even people in your own family. But guess what? If you don't get this inside right, you won't be able to deal with it. And so when David says, God, I desire truth in my inward part. And it's the hidden part where you will make me to know wisdom. And so what he does, he deals with that inward place and he replaces the junk that you need to confess and he gives you wisdom. He gives you peace. He gives you his spirit on the inside. Amen? And so Romans 5, when he says, therefore, being justified, how? By what? Faith. We have what? Peace with God. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's our salvation. And so it's our faith that we break when we made the decision, we had to make a choice. Faith is of God. But we still had to make a decision. We had to make a choice to accept the gospel or reject it. Amen? We have free will. And as we accept it through believing him, God given us the new man. And he's equipped us with faith. And we grow in that faith through the word of God. And then, not only that, but check this out. He says, by whom we also have access, where? Also, by faith, right? Into this what? Grace, wherein we stand. That's where we stand. So now listen, not only are we saved by grace through faith, but guess what? That same plethora, the plethora of grace, of joy, of love, of peace, of a sound mind, of what God has afforded to us through the fruits of his spirit, we draw on that bank account by faith. Amen? By faith. I think it's Romans 4:4. I don't know the verse, but in chapter 4, it says we speak them things as though they speak those things that are not as though they are. Somebody think that's just about their Rolls Royce. But it's talking about laying hold to the faith, and that's talking about Abraham. The Bible says Abraham believed God, and it was accredited unto him as what? As righteousness. Amen. As righteousness. And so by faith, he believed God. By faith, Rahab, she made provision for the children of Israel, the spies that came. By faith, Noah, built an ark. Amen. It didn't rain. It hadn't rained for months. But he built an ark. By faith, Abraham picked up and he moved. By faith, these things happen. Faith is the substance. Listen, is the what? Substance. That's the, listen, just like this table. Y'all can hear it? Faith increases our substance of things that we're assured of things hoped for, and it's the evidence, as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, and it's the evidence of things not seen. Guess what, y'all? I don't see it, but I have it. I lay hold unto it by faith. Amen? Paul told Timothy to lay hold. We got to lay hold unto this word. We got to lay hold unto this treasure. We lay hold unto the faith. And we can only do it through the word of God. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. They that come to him must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently what? Seek him. So listen, let's turn back to Romans chapter 5. When he says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. We stand there on the promises of God, on the word of God, on the love of Christ for us. We belong to him. We're his sons. That's our belonging. That's our validation. And we access it all by faith. The faith of God that we have, that we grow in, is so crucial and critical to defeating this battle that we have. It's by faith, y'all. And that's our shield. That when the enemy speaks to my mind, amen, when doubt comes, when fear comes, you can say, you can throw that dagger. You can take the dagger out. You already got on the breastplate of righteousness. My feet are shod in the preparation of the gospel of peace. And guess what? I got the shield of faith. Amen. God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of what? Power and of love and of a sound mind. When temptation comes, guess what? You can say, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. When he comes to doubt that you are, that this whole thing is a fallacy, amen? You can say, Satan, I rebuke you. Amen? I'm not going to believe that thought. The Bible says I'm a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar nation, set apart that we should show praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Amen. It's the scripture that comes alive in us that we can battle even in the midst or stay in the midst of tribulation. And this is what, listen, and this is why, y'all see this? By faith, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, into this realm that you can't see, into this realm that it goes beyond my emotions. Into this realm that goes beyond how you feel. The devil loves to use your feelings. But guess what? You have faith in the word. And it takes the word of God, amen, to combat your feelings. Man, your feelings will mess you up. You'll get up in the morning on a Monday feeling some type of way, not knowing why. Guess what? You better stand on this word. You better know who you are, whom you are, and who and of whom you are. Listen, and so what it says is, it says we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. How are you standing? Are you standing by faith? And then it says, and not only so, but because my faith has been increased, because I have access to the riches of God, to the realm of God, to the love of Christ, guess what, y'all? Tribulation. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience worketh experience. Experience worketh hope. And that hope does not disappoint, because the love of Christ is shed abroad in our hearts. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of that power is of God and not of us. And the reason why so many people are beat up and are bound, right? And it can't get right. It's because they have a faith failure. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 1. It's not that the gospel wasn't preached. The gospel was preached. but it was not mixed with faith. And that's why they fell in the wilderness, because they didn't have faith. Amen. You know what's grateful? I'm grateful because when the word hits, it convicts, shows me myself, but there's so much joy and love and peace that floods my soul. And when David talks about my cup running over, that cup is filled by faith. We pull down the things that were not as though they are. And Enoch, amen, he walked with God by faith till he was not. Elijah prayed, right, that it wouldn't rain by the space of three and a half years, and it rained not. Then he prayed again by faith. And guess what? God opened up. I'm telling you, God wants to bless us. But when we're not willing to go beyond and looking at the watch, and I hope this service don't go long, and I hope Bible study ain't that long, and we were worried about so many things, we've got to sit and focus on the word of God. Amen. Well, amen. Let us look to the Lord. Most gracious and eternal Father God, we thank you. We bless your name to know you are God all by yourself, and besides you, there is none other. We thank you for the peace that only you can give. And I thank you, oh God, because that peace is predicated upon you. And you abolish in your flesh the enmity, the separation that we had from you and one another. You abolished it in your flesh, oh God. And we thank you, oh God, that you've broken down that middle wall and you abolished it in your body. We took on your righteousness and you took our wrath. And so we're grateful for that. And God, we thank you, oh God, because even when Jacob wrestled with you, he went down one way, fearing his brother, fearing his life for him and his family. But when he really got down on his knees and began to pray, and God began to pinpoint some things that were in him and dealt with that trickster spirit, dealt with the get over spirit, even things that have come through generational curses, God, you broke his heart to what you did to him on the inside. And that's why he could say, I see a breaking of day, oh, the joy that floods my soul. And then when he went back out to see his brother, he was not worried, because you had already won the battle internally. God, we pray for every heart that's even on this line, that you will break us beyond surface. David said, thou desire truth in our inward parts. And that's where the battle is, oh God. Hearing your truth, hearing your word, that your word may come in on the inside, that we may grow in this grace, in this knowledge of who you are. We thank you for the cross. We thank you, oh God, for Calvary. We thank you, oh God, for the substitute, the sacrifice that you were for us. And now we plead the blood of Jesus over every family and over every person that's represented that knows you, oh God, that you will cover us and protect us, oh God. We pray your anointing, oh God. We pray, oh God, that you will continue to restore relationships, even in our own families, oh God. And whether they want to be involved with us or not, God, we must be in a position to forgive. We must be in a position, oh God, to have our arms open and ready to receive. God, help us, oh God. Pull down strongholds, generational curses, territorial spirits, even our children, oh God, who are faced, oh God, with the spirit of insecurity, and how the enemy wants to entice through the internet, through TV, through so many, through friends, through peer pressure. God, we pray that you cover our children, even as they go back to these classrooms, even these schools, oh God, even the teachers, oh God. We pray you're covering our college students, oh God, our young adults, oh God, our families and our homes. God, we plead the blood of Jesus. We pray your anointing. We pray your covering. All these blessings we ask, oh God, in Jesus' name. And for sake we pray, let everybody say amen. Amen.